Today is a very auspicious day of the passing away of Haridas Thakur. And the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees are oceanic. Sometimes they are compared to a sky in which different birds of different capacities can fly to different heights. Sparrow can fly to some height, crow can fly a little more higher. Eagle can fly much higher. And Brahma's swan can fly even more higher. So, on these auspicious days, by reminding ourselves of the wonderful activities of Lord's devotees and their interactions with the Supreme Lord who comes as a different incarnations in this world, to manifest His beautiful pastimes. By reminding ourselves of this, our attachment to Lord and His devotees will increase. So, whatever I have heard and I remember a little bit from this wonderful ocean of pastimes from my spiritual master and many other Vaishnavas, I will try to share with you within the limited time today, whatever I can. Srila Haridas Thakur, it is said, just as Garuda, who is a great devotee of the Lord, appears like a bird, and the great devotee Hanuman appears like a monkey, Haridas Thakur also appeared as a yavana in this world. So these two examples are given. Why? Because Garuda is not a bird, Hanuman is not a monkey. So, recently, when I met my spiritual master for one particular question, so he was telling, all the problems in this world are created by our mind, which is oftentimes compared to a monkey. But he said, if you follow the teachings of all acharyas in the Guru Parampara, then your mind will not be monkey anymore, it will become like Hanuman monkey. He said, that's the difference between monkey and Hanuman monkey. Hanuman is the only monkey who is not restless. All other monkeys are restless. How many of you have seen the picture of Hanuman sitting like this? Yogic posture, you have seen? Yeah. Very rare to see monkeys sitting like that. That is why Hanuman is not an ordinary monkey. Because monkeys generally have certain characteristics. Similarly, you open this. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Similarly, Garuda is not an ordinary bird. He is a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Where is the bird in this world who, when he flaps the wings, the Samaveda is emanating? Tubhyam namami Narayanaya Sri Lakshmikantam Tubhyam namami. Every time he is waving the wings, such holy names are emanating from his wings. Have you seen a bird like that? So, similar to Garuda and Hanuman, Namacharya Haridas Thakur should not be thought of to be a Muslim, born in a Muslim family or a Yavana family. He is a great Acharya, a pure devotee of the Lord, on a liberated platform, who has descended along with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to perform some pastimes in this world, aligned with the will of the Supreme Lord, in order to propagate the teachings of the Supreme Lord for the welfare of the world. So one should learn to see Haridas Thakur in right perspective. That is why these examples are given. So, Haridas Thakur, strangely enough, although born in a Yavana family, right from childhood, he had a great attachment to the holy name of the Supreme Lord, right from birth. He grew up chanting the holy name. And he also is one of the prominent associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Leelas. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he came to Jagannath Puri, Haridas Thakur also decided that I will not live in Navadvip anymore. So he also came to Puri. So when he arrived at Puri, When all the different associates from Gaudadesh went to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira. At that time, Haridas Thakur was not to be found. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, where is Haridas? Very eagerly he inquired about Haridas Thakur. So all the devotees ran to a garden where Haridas Thakur was lying on the ground. And they told him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking for you. He said, no, I will not come. I feel ashamed to go in the front and offer obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his vicinity. I am the most fallen. And he said, I am very ashamed to pass through the Jagannath temple because there are many Jagannath pujaris who are pure-hearted souls. And I don't want to pollute that place. So I want to be at a distance. Please request Lord Chaitanya to allot me some garden where I can just sit and chant all day. So when Mahaprabhu heard the humility of Haridas Thakur, he was deeply touched. So later on, Haridas Thakur called Kashi Mishra and told him that you have given me your residence, the Gambira, to live. But nearby, there is a beautiful garden. I would request you to give me that garden also if it pleases you. So I can sometimes go there and chant. Actually, Mahaprabhu asked this garden for himself. And then when Kashi Mishra heard it, my dear Lord, what are you telling me? You can take whatever you like. Everything is yours. You should not even request me like this, he said. So Mahaprabhu took that garden and then he reserved that place for Haridas Thakur. So then Mahaprabhu called Haridas Thakur to that place and he told him, now onwards you reside here. From here you can see the chakra every day, which is non-different from seeing Lord Jagannath directly, the Neela Chakra. And I will also take darshan of Jagannath and come to meet you with the Mahaprasad every day. You see, that place where Haridas Thakur resided, that became a very famous spot, a holy spot, where many great personalities have come. Later on, when Sanatana Goswami came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him to the same place and said, you and Haridas Thakur should stay here together. You both are Rasika Bhaktas and you can relish Krishna's pastimes by exchanging with one another. And you can enjoy each other's association, remembering Krishna's pastimes. So he kept Sanatana also there. Later on when Rupa Goswami came, Mahaprabhu again took him also there. And that is the same place where Rupa Goswami wrote this Lalita Madhav Vidagdha Madhav books also. Staying in the company of Haridas Thakur. And that is the same place where Rupa Goswami got the blessings of all the acharyas like Sarup Damodar, Ramanand Rai, Sarvam Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. They all came and blessed Rupa Goswami as Rasacharya and sent him to Vrindavan. So that is the same place. And that is the same place where Lord Chaitanya has performed innumerable pastimes with many devotees like Jagadananda Pandit and Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath temple for darshan. And the pujari in the morning before the Mangal Arati, there is a little bit of tension for pujaris to make everything ready. So the pujari generally used to give a toothpick to Jagannath. But generally they count the number of toothpicks and keep it. But somehow somebody had taken one of the toothpicks. One was missing. As sometimes you see Mahaprasad stolen, toothpick was also stolen. So, and the pujari last minute couldn't do anything. Immediately went to the backyard and he found a bakul tree. And he broke a branch of the bakul tree and made a toothpick out of it. And combined with the other toothpicks, he offered it to Jagannath. And when Jagannath gave darshan to everybody, when Mahaprabhu came in the front, so that pujari gave that bakul toothpick to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought that to the place where Haridas Thakur was staying. So he placed that toothpick of Jagannath in the ground, which grew into a tree subsequently. So it is very, very auspicious, very special, because it is a toothpick of Jagannath, touched by the divine hands of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and mystically growing from the toothpick was the Siddha Bakul tree, which grew up. And Mahaprabhu told him, you can reside under this tree and you can chant the holy names peacefully. The tree gave shade, it was a huge tree. Sitting in the shade of the tree, Haridas Thakur was chanting 3 lakh names every day. There. Now, there is a history that after Haridas Thakur passed away, there was a Jagannath Pandit Babaji, who was a follower of Haridas Thakur, who was living in that place. And he also used to sit there and chant. You know, he was actually safeguarding the matha of Haridas Thakur. He was a follower of Haridas Thakur. So one day, some of the servants of the king, they were searching for a proper wooden tree with which they can make the Jagannath's Rath cart wheel. So when they came to this garden, they saw this Siddha Bakul tree, which was stout and strong and very huge. So they requested him that, you know, we want to take this and make wheels for Lord Jagannath. If king wants something, nobody can stop. So there was an objection from Jagannath Pandit. He said, no, you don't know what this is. This is planted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namacharya Haridas Thakur has been chanting below this. It's a very sacred tree. For a long time to come, people will come and take darshan of this tree. But they went back to king, and again they came back. They said, no, at any cost we are going to uproot the tree and take it. So then Jagannath Pandit understood. He became silent, understanding it must be Lord's will that he is conducting a test on what is the right conduct or what right course of action. So the next day, when the king's servants came with all the equipments to take the tree, overnight the tree had become completely petrified, almost like a rock. And not only that, the tree had become completely hollow. Still, it was having fresh green leaves and flowers also. Even today you will find that tree is completely hollow, if you see inside. If you see, it's a section, any section of the tree is hollow. But it is giving out green leaves and flowers also, even today, like this. So it had become like a rock. Not only that, the tree had become twisted and turned like this way, that way. It became as if, you know. So when they came and saw, they thought this is no more fit. So they went back after that. They're wondering how the tree had transformed like this. So the point is, even the tree, the living entity in the tree, who was touched by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, placed in the residence of Haridas Thakur, hearing the holy name of 3 lakh names every day, it didn't want to leave that place. Go to another place. It wanted to reside in the same place. So even today, the tree is there, or the descendant of the tree is there, still you will find. That is a Siddha Bakul, we call it. That is the place where Namacharya Haridas Thakur was sitting and chanting. So there are innumerable pastimes. I was in a dilemma whether we should tell the pastimes of Haridas Thakur or passing away of Haridas Thakur. Actually, today is the day of passing away of Haridas Thakur. If we get into the pastimes very elaborately, then we will not be able to discuss this. So I will do a little bit of pastimes and then we will go to the CC verses. You see, sometimes Haridas Thakur had a very sweet relationship with Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Actually, Advaita Acharya Prabhu was the topmost of the Brahmanas of his times and most respected by all Brahmanas. At the same time, he was a Vaishnava also. He was very much loved and respected by the Vaishnava community. And all the Vaishnavas would come together and Advaita Acharya Prabhu would arrange the Bhagavatam study circle. They would discuss every day. At the time, Vishwarupa also would come and join. Today, I think tomorrow is Vishwarupa also. Vishwarupa leaving home, tomorrow. So Vishwarupa also would come to associate with Advaita Acharya Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. All this, Chandrasekhar Acharya, these people who are living in Navadvip, they used to come together and discuss. Advaita Acharya Prabhu had his home in Shantipur, but he also had a home in Navadvip also. So they would often come together and every day there would be discussions on Bhagavatam for hours together. So Advaita Acharya Prabhu was loved and respected in Vaishnava community in one way, but apart from that, he was also very respectable in the community of Brahmanas also. So Brahmanas considered him the topmost Brahmana. But there is one episode where you will find on the Shraddha day, the Shraddha Patra, we call it. In your homes also you must have seen, when they conduct Shraddha, they will have one big leaf. When we used to be small children, so I would ask my father, what is that big leaf? Can I sit there? So many items, practically there will be 20, 25 items will be placed there. Varieties of items. No, that's reserved for a very big Brahmana. So they would, of course they would call many Brahmanas, small Brahmanas would come and do many, many pujas. Lastly, the big Brahmana will come. And he will sit in that big leaf. Yeah. Generally, most respectable, very, very mature, experienced Brahmanas are called for that. But Advaita Acharya Prabhu reserved that leaf, that plate for whom? Ardhas Thakur. You see, now if you call Ardhas Thakur in our contemporary time, it may not be a serious issue. Because most people don't follow religion. You know? Now you can follow any religion you want. Nowadays, many Muslims also keep crop, they don't keep beard, they don't put topi also, many of them. You don't know who is Hindu, who is Muslim, who is Christian. You don't see also. Everybody looks alike only now, in cities. So now if you offer a Shraddha Patra to somebody here in city, nobody is going to mind it. But try to understand the time of Advaita Acharya Prabhu, when people were very orthodox and very strict about, in those days, if a Muslim takes a palm full of water and sprinkles on you, you are finished. The Hindus will make you outcast. You cannot show your face in Hindu community. And they had a unanimous decision. If the Hindu community has rejected somebody, nobody will even look at you, talk to you. You are outcast, you are finished, that's all. Like you heard about Subhadraya, isn't it? He went and asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that was the time. When the Brahmanas lived in Agrahara separately, and Yavanas Muslims, they lived in other places. Their habits were totally opposite. The Yavanas would eat cow flesh, Brahmanas would worship the cows, the Yavanas would not take bath, the Brahmanas would take bath 3 times a day. Their customs were totally topsy-turvy. So, in such times, when the Brahmanas were extremely rigid and strict about the rules and regulations, how much Advaita Acharya Prabhu must have been confident to invite Haridas Thakur, born in a Yavana family, in the presence of all the big Brahmanas. In their presence, he said, you are better than millions of Brahmanas put together. He told Haridas Thakur. And he told him, you are the one who is fit enough to eat this Shraddha Patra. And he felt very shy, Haridas Thakur. But it was a loving compulsion. He could not escape. He had to accept. So, in this way, Advaita Acharya Prabhu and Namacharya Haridas Thakur had a very great love. So, seeing Advaita Acharya being so reverential and so loving towards Haridas Thakur, many of the Brahmanas also recognized Haridas Thakur. But there were other Brahmanas who were very orthodox and who were whose bhakti was not awakened. So they became antagonistic. That is why sometimes you find in Shantipur, when you go, even today people say there were some antagonistic Brahmanas. That is why. Because of the customs of Advaita Acharya Prabhu, which they could not decode and understand. They misunderstood him sometimes. But Advaita Acharya Prabhu never worried about what the world would say. He wanted the world to know the position of Namacharya Haridas Thakur. So, one time when Haridas Thakur had gone to the place of Advaita Acharya Prabhu, all the other Brahmanas in the neighborhood also came to associate with him, to hear the glories of the holy name from his mouth about the Nama Tattva. So, at that time, the news went to the king, local king. Of course, above the local king, there is a Qazi, and there is Nawab above. So the local king happened to hear from the people that this Muslim man born in a Muslim family is taking to the Hindu god's name. It was creating a big wave amongst the people in the society. Some Brahmanas who became inimical to Haridas Thakur. Why they became inimical? The Brahmanas used to do some rigid rites and rituals and earn their remuneration from the people in general. But Haridas Thakur went preaching the holy names very loudly and told people, you don't have to do anything. Just chant the holy name and can go back to Godhead. And these holy names are beyond the Vedas. These are beyond rituals, rites, yajna, dana, tapa, everything. Just awaken your love for Krishna and you get everything. And all people who got awakened to the Vaishnava Siddhanta, they were not very attracted to just the Vedic rites, rituals and everything. Nor were they willing to be under the control of the Brahmanas, who only knew some performance of yajna, nothing beyond that. They had no knowledge of soul, God and the loving relationship. They had no knowledge. So when they saw that the mass is turning against them and then they are going behind Namacharya Haridas Thakur, the Brahmanas became very inimical to him. At the same time, some of the Yavana community people also became inimical to Haridas Thakur, thinking that he is not reading Quran, he is not following Islam, he is following Hindu people. So they became inimical also. In this way, he earned some enemies because of this. So when the news reached the king, local king, then Qazi and Nawab, they arrived there and they called for Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur went to meet them. So the Nawab was asking him, actually when Nawab looked at Haridas Thakur had an amazing effulgence emanating from his face and body. Initially he was taken aback. Maybe he's a very great saintly person. He thought like that. Still he thought, he has to ask him this question. He said, if a Muslim gives up his Quran study and he gives up following the holy places connected to Allah, like Mecca, Medina and all these places, and if he adopts another religion, then he is counted as a kafir. Kafir means one who is a heretic. So he said, what's wrong with you? I heard that he said you are propagating the Hindu God's name and the religion. Why don't you study from Quran and propagate? Do the same work. We want people like you. But you should follow Quran. Why are you following Puran? He's asking. So Haridas Thakur understood the question. Haridas Thakur said, my dear king, a person may be born a Brahmana in a Hindu family. But he may completely give up all the Hindu Dharma. And he may not follow anything. There are many Brahmanas you find who are meat eaters also, sometimes. They don't study the Shastric books. So just because he is born a Hindu, are you going to call him a Hindu? Is he a proper Hindu? And then he said, as far as I am concerned, my behavior, my speech, my activities are not in my control. I am completely controlled by Lord from within my heart. Right from the time I was born, I was attracted to chanting Lord's holy name like this. And he said, in this way, he also said, the Lord's name, form, pastimes, qualities, activities are all differently explained in different scriptures, but ultimately there is no difference between them. They are all meant for people in different cultures and people of different levels of elevation to understand. I don't see any difference between these different religions. The only difference between Hindu God and Muslim God is in name only, he said. You call him Allah, they call him Krishna. There is no other difference. And then he said, if you are still unsatisfied with my answer, you may punish me in whatever way you deem fit. I am ready for it, he said. And when, although all the people assembled in the court, they said, wah, wah, sadhu, sadhu, how beautifully explained. Their hearts are deeply touched. The innocent hearts were deeply touched by his explanations. They could appreciate Haridas Thakur. But the Qazi and the Nawab, and their hearts were blackened by envy and anger and desire to punish Haridas Thakur for deviating from their religion. So Nawab gave him an ultimatum. He said, either you promise to give up your preaching of the holy name or be prepared to be beaten up in 22 marketplaces until you take your last breath, he said. Haridas Thakur said, even if my body is cut into thousands of pieces and even if I lose my life, every single part of my body will be chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Like that he said, You may do whatever you wish, my dear king, but I am not going to stop chanting, he said. I was thinking seriously whether I have such a determination to chant. In our times, if somebody threatens you, you know, if you chant, I will shoot you. That can be a good excuse for us not to chant. Isn't it? You can say that current government of India has put a rule, you cannot chant. Actually, if government releases the ban, then we will start chanting. Isn't it? Here is Namacharya, who was... actually, generally you will find in Bible we read also, when Jesus was protested against by people in general because he claimed that he is son of God and he is a messiah, he is messenger of God. He was giving the truth about God. See, people are following Old Testament, but Jesus brought the New Testament, the revelation of God through the Genesis and subsequently many other things he gave. So people were opposing it and they went to the king and said that you have to kill him. So the king, representing the people, he told Jesus, of course, before capturing Jesus, Jesus had many followers like Peter or Judas and all of them. But you'll find Jesus told Peter, when the cock crows thrice in the morning, you will betray me, saying that you don't know me. And Peter broke into tears. He said, my master, how will I betray you? Similarly, Judas also was one of the 12 apostles. But when the government men came, everybody became afraid. When the policemen came, they asked, are you an acquaintance of Jesus? They said, Judas said, in fact, Judas was bringing the government men by getting some silver coins from them. He only showed where Jesus is. And Peter was close to the place where Jesus was. But as soon as the government men came, he started shivering. Yeah, I don't know anything. I don't know who he is. That is it. At that time, the cock crow, cock, 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 made a sound. And he remembered, hey, Jesus told that the cock will crow thrice when I betray him. And although he was a very intimate associate of Jesus, when it comes to life, what people do? They raise the hands. You will see that people will, you know, they're not able to hold the truth. But Jesus was very courageous. When the king told Jesus, all you need to do is tell all the people that you are not son of God, and all the message that you told them till now, request them to delete it from their minds, that it is not true. And you promise that you will not preach anymore about God in the way you have been preaching. And Jesus laughed and said, my dear, what are you saying, my dear king? I am going to go on preaching. I am going to do God's duty. Come what may in my way. Even if I have to lay down my life also. He was very, very bold. Then subsequently he was given the cross to carry. And he was placed on the cross and nailed to the cross. And third day he resurrected and went back to Godhead after that. So, this is the history, whether it is Jesus, whether it is Haridas Thakur, whether it is Prahlad Maharaj. You will always find in this world, there are asuric forces and divine forces in tussle. And in the past also, many, many great pure devotees have been tormented by atheistic group of people or kings like this. But the beauty of such pure devotees is like when you take an axe in the hand and you try to hit a sandalwood tree, the sandalwood tree gives fragrance. Already it is giving fragrance, but when you hit a sandalwood tree with the axe, the fragrance increases more. So in this way, the pure devotee's qualities become even more manifest when they are tortured. The more you torture, it's like putting gold in fire. They become even more the manifest golden qualities, good qualities. So, this is Haridas Thakur. So, when he was taken from one marketplace to another by the sentries, and the sentries were all low-class men, their hearts were blackened by envy for Haridas Thakur, and they were determined to beat him to death. And their experience was that in beating a person from one or two marketplaces, the person would be finished. But here the sentries were taking him from one marketplace to another. And they were beating him severely. And Haridas Thakur's eyes were closed and he would be chanting Krishna's names constantly. And they didn't sense any kind of pain in his body at all. On the contrary, Once in a while they saw Haridas Thakur would open his eyes and look at them and smile upon them. That's all they saw. And they were all surprised. We are beating him and he is smiling at us. And some marketplaces people would come and beg and tell the sentries, see, he's a great saintly person. You are beating him like this, the result would be that the whole kingdom would be ruined. But such preaching was not of any avail to them. They were low-class men. They didn't pay any heed. And some rich men would come and say, oh, sentries, don't beat him up. Tell me how much money you need. I'll give you. And you release him. They wouldn't release. Because they were following the order of the Qazi and Nawab. They were determined to kill him. And it went on and on. So several, after beating up in 21 marketplaces, before they took him to 22nd, they themselves started crying. They said, Haridas, what kind of body you have? Our hands and legs are tired now, beating you up. You are not dying. If you don't die, then king will kill us. We will be punished for this. And when Haridas Thakur heard it, he took pity on them. He told them that, I don't want to be the cause of your suffering. So instead, for your pleasure, I will leave the body, he said. And then he sat in rapt meditation on Krishna, closing his eyes. And then when the breathing completely stopped, the sentries were very happy that he is dead now. So immediately we went with the news to the king that Haridas Thakur has left his body. He's dead now. What to do now? So one of them said that, you know, you can bury him in the ground. But another said, the Muslim said, no, he should not be buried. If you bury, he will go back to heaven. So just like the Hindus do, we will throw him at the Ganges. And he will have no destination. So that's what they decided. So they decided to pick him up and throw him in the Ganges. But when they tried to pick him up, at that time Krishna entered his heart. And his body became so heavy. Sometimes you find if a statue is made of iron or something, heavy iron, you can imagine a huge statue. You can't even budge it also. And Haridas Thakur's body became like that. In fact, Haridas Thakur was himself amazed when he saw Krishna. Already his heart was the residence of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And now when Krishna entered his heart and made his body so heavy, the sentries had a very difficult time. And they had to call hundreds of sentries to push him into the water. Roll him and ultimately push him into water. Great difficulty. This itself surprised them. So when they pushed him in water and the fast flowing Ganges water carried his body away, they were very happy. He's finished, they thought. And after long distance, at one point of place where Fulya Gram, again Haridas Thakur came back to his external consciousness. And he got out of the Ganges water. Again raising his arms, he started chanting the holy name loudly for everyone to hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And everybody came to see the beautiful sight. And many, many people joined him. Hundreds and thousands of people joined him in chanting of the holy name. And the news reached the Muslims' ears. And they again went to the king and Nawab and everybody. And then Haridas Thakur went straight to the Nawab also. And then when Nawab saw him, of course the Nawab was an intelligent man too. Now, both the Nawab, Qazi, all of them, their heart became free from envy. Completely. The respect for Haridas Thakur had tremendously increased. So Nawab said, my dear Haridas, by this incident we can understand that you are a saintly person who are blessed by God. You have become awakened to the supreme truth and you have surpassed all the categories of religions. You have come to a point where you see every living entity's heart to be a residence of the supreme God. Thus you have no enemies, no friends in this world. Everybody is equal to you. Nobody can favor you. Nobody can harm you. You are a pure soul. You are a lover of God. And we are in no position to punish you. In fact, we are ashamed of punishing you. In fact, we were eager to meet you to seek forgiveness from you. We don't know what type of dangerous hell awaits us. So only if you forgive us, we have some hope of winning the heart of God. So we beg you, you may live anywhere you wish. You can live in a cave, or you can live in a cottage, you can live in the bank of Ganges, and you are free to move around and chant the holy names wherever you go. Holy names of Krishna. So we accept your path and the process, and we seek forgiveness from you. So in this way, all the kings and other officials, they begged forgiveness from Haridas Thakur. This is Namacharya. You see, when you're talking about Haridas Thakur passing away, we also have to know his glories. Only when we know his glory, then why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much appreciated him, we can understand. Actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will read that section. So this comes in the Antya Leela, 11th chapter of Antya Leela. Actually, I was telling you that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to meet him when Haridas Thakur was refusing to go to Gambira, you know. So that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with his humility. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur, that Haridas Thakur, if you will not come to meet me, then I will come to meet you. He said, because I need your association. He said, the sight of you is so purifying. The holy names that you recite enters the hearts of everyone and it purifies everybody. And I long for your association, like the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and he embraced Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur was called as Namacharya by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So now here is the section of the event that happened today. That is the day when Haridas Thakur is passing away. In this section we find in the Antya Leela. So Haridas Thakur expresses his desires. Ekavancha haya mora bahudina haite Leela sambaribe tumi laya mora chite. He's saying, my dear Lord, I have one desire in my heart for a long time, that I heard that quite soon you are going to close your pastimes in this material world and you are going to return to your own abode. Sai Leela Prabhu More Kabuna De Kaiba Apanara Age More Shari Rapadiba. He says, I don't want to see this closing chapter of your pastimes. It's very, very painful for me. Before that happens, let my body fall down, he said. Mora sharira padiba. Means, let my body fall to the ground before you leave your pastimes and go out of this world. Jivaya ucharima tomar Krishna chaitanya naam yai mata mora icha chadi muparana. He's telling that Jivaya Ucharimo, with my tongue, I should be reciting the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Like this, there was one another Gangadas Pandit also. When this name was declared during the sannyas of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Kesha Bharati was giving the name, your name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he said. At that time, Gangadas Pandit was just arriving in that place. After that, only Mahaprabhu went for shaving up, you know, in Katwa. So at that time, this Gangadas Pandit, he started reciting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, several times. And then he came to be called as Chaitanya Das. So, In the same manner, here also, he desired in his heart, when I leave my body, what my mouth should be uttering? Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And he said, Yehi Mata Mora Icha Chadi Mupara. This is my desire, that let me give up my body in this way, he said. See, here there are two more important verses.
Adrishya aspirishya more angikara kaila rauravaha ite kadi more vaikunte chadaila.
Saying, I am unseeable and untouchable, but you have accepted me as your servant. This means that you have delivered me from a hellish condition and raised me to the Vaikuntha platform. So in this way, this is Haridas Thakur's supreme humility of declaring himself to be untouchable and unseeable.
Svatantra Ishvara tumi havo ichhamai jagat na chavo yare yache ichhahai.
My dear Lord, you are fully independent personality of Godhead. You act by your own free will. You cause the whole world to dance and act as you like, he says. So, you are independent. I know that because of your independent nature, you can do whatever you want. You know, anytime you will perform pastimes to please your devotees. And anytime you will leave everything and suddenly vanish also. So, you are completely independent. In the same manner, you may recognize someone who is a great Brahmana, but you will also recognize somebody who is a Chandala also, most fallen. Nobody can challenge you. How can you accept a Chandala or a Yavana or a dog eater or a cow flesh eater and things like that? Because you are fully independent. And that is how you have accepted me, he is saying. Because you are fully independent. So in this way, these are the desires of Haridas Thakur that he expressed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu now is speaking in the mood of a very loving devotee. See, Mahaprabhu, he plays two types of roles in his leela. Sometimes superhuman activities he does. Like he brings a toothpick of Jagannath and makes a bakul tree out of it. Another time he made a mango tree from which he made many mangoes and distributed to everybody. Another time Mahaprabhu wanted to do kirtan with all the devotees in an open ground. And huge clouds are coming in the sky. Huge. And it sometimes the evening you find the clouds are so dark and thick and dense. When the way they come, you know, it's going to be a heavy rain shower in a few minutes. And Mahaprabhu looked at the sky and it was unfavorable for Sankirtan. Just took his kartals in his hand like this. And he looked at the sky and said, they did like that. And all the clouds ran away. And the sky became completely clear. You see, because he wanted to kirtan. So, you know, Rishabhadev said like this and rains came. And Mahaprabhu said like this and rains went away. He can do whatever he wants. He is Svatantra Ishwar, you see. So, here also, apart from his superhuman activities, Lord Chaitanya also performs activities which are apparently human. Which appear like simply like one of the devotees. He behaves like one of the devotees. Here Mahaprabhu is putting up that role. See what he says.
Prabhu kahe Haridas yai tumi magibe Krishna kripa maya taha avashya karibe.
He said, Haridas, whatever desire you may have, how will Krishna not fulfill it? Krishna will surely fulfill it. See, Mahaprabhu would never say that I will fulfill your desires. Similarly, when Sanatana Goswami surrendered to Mahaprabhu, he said, Sanatana, Krishna has accepted you. Krishna has, similarly for Raghunath Das also he said, Krishna has liberated you from all mental entanglement. Actually, who liberated them? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he would always say Krishna. Anyway, he is Krishna only. He's liberating them.
Kintu amariye kichu sukha sabat tomalaya tomare yogya nahe yave amare chadiya.
He is saying, but whatever happiness I am feeling in my life is because of your association, Haridas. But if you go away, leaving me behind, is it proper? It is not properly fitting. What will happen to me? You may enjoy by going away. What will happen to us? Like that he is asking. And then he is saying, See, this is Haridas Thakur's response to Mahaprabhu saying it. See, this verse of Mahaprabhu, which he said just now to Haridas Thakur, that I am actually thriving in your association. This is a very, very great verse of Mahaprabhu admiring the quality of devotion of Haridas Thakur. And the other devotees like Swarup Damodar and Ramanand Rai also. Actually, Krishna is the greatest. He can single-handedly do everything. But sometimes you find him coming into this world, enjoying the company of his own loving devotees. Like, you know, there is a song, you know this, that Hanuman crossed over Lanka simply by chanting Ram Naam. But Ram himself needed a Setu Bandha to cross the ocean. Is it true that Ram cannot jump like Hanuman jumped? I said, Ram doesn't have to jump only because he's already in the heart of Ravana. He doesn't have to jump also. Wherever you jump, here also is there Ito Narsimha, Parto Narsimha. He's everywhere. At least Hanuman has to jump. Ram doesn't have to jump. But why he needs a Setu Bandh? Anybody knows? To give some seva for the monkeys. Otherwise, what will they do? So even all of us, we need some service now. So Lord wants to give service to His devotees. That's one reason. And there's another reason. Because Lord delights in the company of His devotees. Living with His devotees. Like, you know, Lord is a great educator. I was telling about this some classes ago. As Kapila, He gives His education to? Who is a devotee who comes like a mother. And He enjoys. His devotee is asking Him questions and He is giving answers. Lord comes as Rishabhadev, educating whom? His 100 sons, isn't it? And now Lord comes as Lord Krishna, educates whom? Arjuna. Lord comes as Hamsavatar, educates whom? Chatushkumaras and Brahmaji, is it not? Now Lord comes as Vishnu, educating Brahma also, isn't it? And you can see innumerable more examples in the same lines. Lord is a good educator. He likes to educate. And in the course of educating His devotees, He enjoys their company. Now sometimes Lord, what He does, instead of they asking Him questions, He asks questions. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking questions to Ramanand Rai. And Ramanand Rai is answering. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking questions to Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur is answering. Like one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Siddha Bakul place to meet Haridas Thakur. And Namacharya Haridas Thakur happened to be there also. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lamenting. He said, alas, Haridas, see the fastly progressing Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is filled with Yavanas who are cow flesh eaters. And when I see them, that they are destroyers of Brahminical culture. They are killers of the cows. When such people exist, how will the dharma progress? How will all the living entities who are suffering in this world go back home, back to Godhead? He asked. So Namacharya Haridas Thakur told, my dear Lord, there is no worry for any living entity in these times, because you yourself have descended into this world as Yuga Avatar for propagating the holy names of Krishna's names. And besides that, all the Yavanas, what they say when they are encountering anything, like in English we say, damn it, we say, no? Damn it means, why it happened like this? You say. So the Yavana say, haram, they say. So when they say haram, so ha means, oh, Ram means Lord Ramachandra. So ha Ram, they say, oh Lord Rama, like that they are calling. So he said, the holy names are so powerful. Anyone who correctly pronounces it in Sanskrit or incorrectly pronounces it, whether it is appropriately chanted or inappropriately chanted, whether it is chanted with a gap or with no gap. Whatever way the holy name may be chanted, when the holy names are chanted with the tongue and they are heard by the ears and they enter the region of the heart, they cleanse the heart of a person and they liberate him immediately. Such holy names chanted in Namabhas offenselessly. They have a great potency, my dear Lord. So all those who chant haram, haram, like this, Muslims, and many Muslims keep saying haram every day, they say haram. So it's an everyday word for Muslims, and they're chanting Lord's names. So they will all get delivered, my dear Lord. You have nothing to worry. They are the Yavanas, cow eaters, and they will all be delivered by chanting Haram, he said. And hearing this, Mahaprabhu was very greatly pleased. And then he said, that is all right, Haridas, but what about the other moving and non-moving entities? How are they going to be delivered? He said, my dear Lord, when you descended in this world, you went about here and there chanting the holy names. As you chanted the holy names, sometimes the trees which are non-moving, the mountains which are non-moving, when they hear the holy name, that's a kind of echo that is produced. That is not any echo. What is it? They are reciprocating with the holy name in response. Sometimes, you know this soulless Bibi Govind Maharaj, in Mayapur, when he is singing this most famous tune, you know, Hare Krishna. You're singing, no? So he would sing in the harmonium and then look around what others are doing. And some devotees wouldn't be chanting. So he would do his hand like this. You've seen, how many of you have seen it? You've seen? He would chant like this and make everybody. So actual preaching means making sure everybody utters the holy name and as loud as possible, combinedly, and they should use all their senses. Our is only Navagindra Maharaj, when he would come to Pune, he would say, kis kis ke paas haath kada karo? He would say, everybody would say, so he would say, you know, recently doctors have discovered that when you clap the hands like this, this nerves here, if they are activated, your brain increases more. Kitne unko aur akal jyada chahiye? No, yes. Everybody said, thali bajao, jor se. He said, clap your hand as strongly as. So once you clap the hands and loudly pronounce the holy name and hear the holy name, that is called congregational chanting of holy names. So in this way, many great souls, while propagating the holy name, they demand reciprocation. Like when I chant, you should chant back. Don't sleep or don't neglect it or don't ignore it. Whatever tune you may sing, people should sing back. There is a lead singer and there is a follow. Others follow that. So it's very important to dancing and everything is all right, but the most important thing is the tongue should be uttering the holy name and ear should be hearing. You can sing. Prabhupada never said you cannot sing this tune or that tune. You can. You have to sing. But Prabhupada allowed them to sing different tunes, but you should utter and hear. Most important thing. And that is what is actually purifying, most purifying. So the trees give echo, but that's not echo. The trees are also responding. And then Haridas said, my dear Lord, I heard from Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was your traveling assistant, that when you were in the Jharikhanda forest, you made the tiger stand on two legs, elephant stand on two legs and recite the holy names. So all the moving beings are captivated by your chanting of the holy name and they all are chanting the holy names also. In this way, all living beings will be delivered. And then he said, in fact, without you even asking this question, when you come in this world as an incarnation, anyway, all the living entities who are born as a contemporary to you, they all are delivered. In fact, the whole universe becomes empty. When Lord Rama came in Ayodhya, he delivered the whole universe and took all living entities back with him. When he appeared as Lord Krishna, he delivered the whole universe and took back with him. And now you appeared as Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu. And we are very confident, everybody born as a contemporary in your period will be delivered by you. And they will all go back to Godhead. Anyway, my dear Lord, this universe will again become filled with new living entities who are waiting to occupy different bodies. And these are all your pastimes. You appear as Mahavishnu and you expand your so many universes and fill it up with so many living entities. And you yourself descend in this world to teach them the holy name and your exhibit your beautiful pastimes. Your desire is to get them all back to your abode. So when Haridas Thakur spoke like this, Mahaprabhu was very amazed. Mahaprabhu said to himself, these are all my confidential glories. How did Haridas Thakur know them? You see, the conditioned souls in this world, they are under Mahamaya. So the Lord's sweet nectarian pastimes are not revealed to them. They simply remain atheistic, arguing against the Lord, you know, condemning the devotees of the Lord. They live in this world submerged in ignorance. But as far as the pure devotees of the Lord are concerned, the pastimes of the Lord can never be hidden from them. In fact, within those pastimes, finer and finer and deeper aspects of the Lord's nature and characteristics come out in the hearts of the devotees because of the sincerity. And because Haridas Thakur was speaking the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt ashamed that he is so openly speaking all my glories. So one time, Srivas Thakur and Advaita Acharya Prabhu, all of them were standing outside Gambira, you know. And they were chanting the names of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very loudly. So again and again and again, sometimes they would sing the names of Gauranga. Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. So, when they did like this, Mahaprabhu came out. He became very externally angry and internally pleased. He said, Advaita Acharya asked him, why are you chanting my names like this? So these kind of pastimes you will find in Mahaprabhu's Leela. So in one such occasion, Srivas Thakur told the Lord, when Lord asked him the question, instead of answering the question, he was doing like this, you know. He was doing like this. And Mahaprabhu asked, what are you doing with your hand? My dear Lord, I'm trying to hide the sun, you know. He said, are you trying to hide the sun? How can you hide the sun? Yes, that's what I want to tell you. Even if I keep my hand like this, can I hide the sun? Maybe I can hide the sun from my eyes, but the whole world will come to know. Similarly, you may try to hide your glories, but your glories are so self-evident, you cannot escape from your glory becoming revealed to everybody. Karang Mahaprabhu ki? So in this way, Srivas Thakur glorified. So some of the Lord's devotees sometimes would glorify the Lord very frankly, openly like this. And they would reveal the Lord's glories. So in this way, now it's almost time now. Probably rest of the chapter you all can read yourself. We are approaching almost 10 o'clock. So I can just tell you the verses. You can note down in this chapter, you can read in the course of the day. Otherwise I can do it in Brahmachari class. Should I continue in Brahmachari class? Today I have a class, I think. Maybe. So there are 3-4 sections are there. Haridas Thakur's, okay, I'll tell the verse numbers. Haridas Thakur's mentality, what Haridas Thakur felt about himself when Mahaprabhu glorified him, that I seek your association, Mahaprabhu said. So that's verse numbers 40, 41, 42. In Antilila 11 chapter 40, 41, 42. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his source of satisfaction. Verse number 51. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's source of satisfaction, 51. And there is one verse which gives a parallel with Bhishma. That is 57. Where Haridas Thakur is compared to Bhishma Pitama. You can see that. 57. Then, and there is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words about Haridas Thakur's disappearance. 91 to 97. 91 to 97. Mahaprabhu's words about Haridas Thakur's disappearance. And then the conclusion, which is blessings for those who hear these pastimes. Verse number 101 to 102. So these are the important sections of this chapter. You can read and know. The most important aspect of this pastime is how much Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved Haridas Thakur. And on the passing away of Haridas Thakur today, Mahaprabhu lifted him in his own hands and danced with his body, surrounded by the devotees, all singing and doing kirtan and dancing. And Mahaprabhu glorified Haridas Thakur's life, how he lived as a Namacharya every day, chanting 3 lakh names with great determination and transcendental faith in Krishna. How his life has been completely pure. And then Mahaprabhu, when he buried his body, he told the devotees, anyone who puts sand on the samadhi of Haridas Thakur will get Krishna's grace. And then Mahaprabhu personally went to the shops in Anand Bazaar and begging for alms. When Mahaprabhu went to beg alms, all the shopkeepers, they had tears in their eyes. everybody came running with huge baskets of, you know, prasadam to gift to Mahaprabhu, donate. Who will not give him? When Krishna comes to your door as a monk to beg from you, which grihastha will not want to give? You ask. Yeah, they will want to give themselves everything to him. So they all want to give. Saru Damodar, seeing the condition, he told, my dear Lord, you don't beg. If you beg, the market will be empty. You know, everybody is coming running. You know. So he made the Lord sit, and then prasadam was collected, and then everybody was distributed prasad. Actually, Mahaprabhu wants to show the world that anyone who follows in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur and chants the Lord's names with great sincerity, faith and devotion, he can become lovable in the heart of Krishna, surely. We can attract the attention of Krishna. That's what we learn. Shri Haridas Thakur ki.